This time I'll call the Macon County Finance Committee Budget Hearing Number One for 8/10/2020 to order. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Here.
Deborah Kraft.
Here.
Greg Mattingly.
Here.
Jim Gresham.
Here.
Elena Buckner. Elena Buckner. Laura Zimmerman.
Here.
You have 5 of 7 quorum present.
Thank you. Did we put this approval of the meetings for just to cover it during the hearing time or not?
I can put it out and you can do it if you want.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion for to approve the minutes of the prior meeting for August 3rd.
So move.
Second.
Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Elena Buckner. Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, we'll start into the budgets. Regional Office of Education, please.
Hello. Just a reminder, the Regional Office of Education is combined between Macon and Piatt. We take the EAV of each of the counties and then divide that up to for percentage of what each county owes. This year, the Macon County portion was 77.9% as compared to last year was 78.2. So we have lowered by 4% what we've asked, and everything is there. It's $147,140 total.
It's like a straight pass-through.
Yeah, we're not a taxing body or anything like that. We are about $6-7 million operation, about 85 employees. Most of our money's through other funds, but every bit that Macon County pitches in helps. We use it for truancy and for some of our office work and some of the bills that we have there.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, the one thing I'd suggest we all kind of keep in mind is we've kind of set 4% as a guideline and as a target, and hopefully maybe it won't be 4%. But my guess is it's probably going to be more. So I'd hope that all officeholders would keep in mind that, you know, after the first quarter, second quarter, we may be back in revisiting these budgets and adjusting them. And I hope that's not the case, but not knowing what the state's going to do, what this pandemic's going to do, or anything, what the future holds, I think we need to prepare for not so good news.
And I agree. I should have mentioned with the resolution we passed to adjust the budgets based on the COVID a couple months ago, I think that that'll follow suit with every budget going forward if it exceeds 4%. So, good point.
In our office, I'm not here to volunteer that today, but if it comes to that point, we're pretty good stewards with our money, and you know, I totally understand that. That won't have a huge impact on us.
Mr. Gresham? Yeah,
well, the 4% pertains to the general fund, and your share of that, the 4%, yeah. You've done better than expected. So
yep.
That's
kidding.
That's a good thing. Thank you.
We try hard.
Yep. Yes. I move to approve it.
Second.
I have a motion to second. Need a roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Elena Buckner. Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
U of I Extension.
Good afternoon. We are asking for level funding from our tax levy this year again. So the tax levy request is $445,136. That puts us at about, of a 5 mil levy, we're at about 0.027 on our tax levy request. So submitted a budget that you all should have. I was able to actually take out or make up the 4% through some revenue increases. I've asked for one of my foundations to give us significantly more money than what they have. So, and we've actually dropped some expenses. So we're doing real well. We're fortunate that the state of Illinois paid us all of our FY19 and our FY20 county board match money that they've been in the arrears for quite a while. So we're doing well there. And the other thing I'd just tell you all is that we go back to work Monday morning.
Awesome.
So in the office. So does anybody have any questions?
You got an increase in wages of $76,000?
Yeah, that's contractual. It's our it's our clerical staff, community worker staff, and then I am down four staff members right now. So I have to put that in the budget for next year.
So it's to fill a position then? Or?
Some of it is, yes, but the rest of it's all union employees.
Which consists of how many employees?
Oh, two. It's five. Let's see. I got to count. Three, five, seven, nine. And then the other ones are to fill positions that we currently, the rest of the money is to fill positions that we currently have open.
Those were the ones that are on your organization chart that
yes,
shows the
vacancy. Right.
Yeah. I noticed there seemed like quite a few there.
We had, we've had a struggle hiring people lately. So it'll be interesting to see what happens hiring after we come out of this, if people are interested in employment. I mean, I think the economy was just doing so well that they just didn't want a job for whatever reason. So, and I've had some people that have left and took different jobs to better themselves, and that's okay. So, yes.
Do you have raises figured in there then?
It is, yes.
What percentage are they?
The contractual percentage is 3%.
And then the director, and that's the same thing, 3%, is that what? Or the whoever the...
Hey, look on the org chart. Let's go to the org chart.
Academic professional positions, which are my positions, there are no pay raises for next year. The only people that are getting pay raises are the union employees, and that would consist of nine people. Everybody else won't have a pay raise. The additional part of the increase in salaries is besides the nine contractual positions that we have to pay their pay raises on, are to replace people that we currently don't have. So I had to figure their cost in there, but in there. Well, and one I do have one educator in there that we've been wanting to hire. I don't know that we'll get that done or not, but I want to hire a consumer economics educator.
Entertain a motion.
So moved. Second.
Got a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Mr. Bird.
Brazil's on. You can hear me.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. I'll do like I did the last time, basically go page by page. There's a lot of pages here on this particular budget. There'll be one little thing I'll hit here pretty soon that in reviewing it today, I forgot that this was a contractual year. So first off...
I don't know who's talking, and I can't hear them. Could you please speak up? Thank you.
All righty. We'll start with 030 Highway. On the revenue side, I did put down taxes based upon what the percent was last year. Of course, that can change and probably most likely will after all the stuff you guys have been through. So if that needs to change, that's fine. Some of the other revenues, like
Chris, have you not seen any change at all yet?
Well, from yes, but also from the discussion that the folks you've had. I mean, this is the property tax revenue.
Yep.
You're talking probably about motor fuel tax.
Yeah,
that's coming up, so I'll explain that. The revenue from townships, I put that more in line with what we had from this past year. That's an actual reduction on the revenue side. The refund from the payroll from MFT, a big portion of our payroll is actually paid for with MFT, and it basically gets refunded into the county highway line item so we can pay the salaries. So that shows the revenue that would come over from MFT. The other decrease was a miscellaneous revenue, and again, that was put it more in line with what we had seen from last year. Now on the expense side, those first five or six lines are all shown as raises. Mine's totally based on what happens with whatever the state gives us. I can get anywhere from zero to whatever. They've given us zero in the past, so that's whatever it is. This is a contractual year, and I just went ahead and filled it out, sent the forms in without actually thinking of whether or not this was a contractual year or not. I know in the past, typically, we have zeroed all those out until the negotiations were done. So if that is the committee's preference, I have no problem doing that. And then we add back in once the once the negotiations are handled. So that's up to you folks. And that's pretty much it for the first page on there. Second page for expenses, of course, from the sheet, Social Security and IMRF retirement both went down a little bit. Then you get into the actual construction and maintenance line items. We increased highway maintenance a little bit to match up better with what our expenses were in that line item. The 61,144, that's kind of an outlier because it was shown as zero before, but it's what we pay each year. So it looks like it's an increase of that amount, but it's still the same amount from the previous year. Other ones are tweaked a little bit here and there. Construction projects down at the bottom went up $50,000 to match what we had have scheduled for next year. Machinery and equipment, that's a big one, went down $100,000 because we're not buying a big truck this year. We're buying a couple of smaller pickup trucks and smaller pieces of equipment. And that's pretty much it for the 030 highway line. On the 031 matching, again, the taxes are shown. That's a small bump up based upon what was last year. Of course, I can change. It can be whatever that wants to be put in there. State of Illinois revenue, that kind of sticks out like a sore thumb, an additional $1 million. And especially here in matching, some of these numbers that pop out, that they're numbers that are placeholders. We've been applying for grants and funds for the next phase segment of the Beltway with the bridges across the lake. Those grant applications have varied anywhere from $5 to $7.5 million. So these are placeholder numbers. If we don't get the money, we're not going to build the project. So yeah, they're big numbers. It's not anything really to be scared about. I'm not planning on spending what I don't have. Motor fuel tax 032. I think this is what John was alluding to. Last year's amount that we had in there was based upon what the agreement was at the time was they were doubling the motor fuel tax funds. And as everybody knows, yes, they did double the motor fuel tax funds. But we only got a 68% increase instead of a 100% increase. The difference goes to a dedicated fund stream for transit. That's the difference. So we only got a 68% increase. That's the biggest chunk of the difference. You'll also notice that there's a new line in there called Grant Revenue Rebuild Illinois. The new additional 68% money that we get, a portion of that is bonded, and it comes to us in upfront bond amounts for the first 3 years. And the state wants us to track that differently because of the way that the statutes were written for those funds. They have to be tracked. They have to be spent on a construction project. You can't spend it like our chip seal work. We're not allowed to spend this money on chip seal work. We're limited. It has to be on a construction or reconstruction type project. And we'll be able to handle that.
So, Bruce, hang on.
Yeah.
So would that be the deficit on the state of Illinois on the 032-0004255?
Right. So the difference there, the deficit is pulling out that grant revenue, yep, and it's also pulling out the 34%. Basically, if you take a look at the difference between that 1750 and the 1258, that's basically the difference between doubling our revenue and getting 68%.
Okay.
So last year it was kind of a flyer we threw in there. We didn't have any idea. We didn't have any history. Now that we have history, we can line it up, and we'll be able to track it better from here on out. The other items, the transfer to highway from payroll, this is the other side of the revenue that came in on the highway side, so it matches up here. The project expense, what we had lined up for next year, is $160,000 less than what we have lined up for this year, so that reflects that down at the bottom. On Special Bridge 034, again, with the revenue, these are property taxes. It's just a number. It can be flat. It can be whatever that's on there. The project amounts, we kept them the same because they were approximately the same as what we had set up for this year, so we just kept those lines the same. Again, between matching and Special Bridge, these funds all go towards construction or capital projects, and it's real simple. You know, if we don't have the money on hand or we know it's coming in, we're not going to build it. We're not going to schedule it and build it. We've always handled things that way. So, State Township Bridge, again, this is pass-through money. This is the Township Bridge money. It goes to the Township, or the Township Bridge money goes to the Township Bridge projects. We don't get this until we actually let the project. Historically, we've always gotten about $170,000, $175,000, and it's been that way for 30-plus years now. We have to zero out some of the townships that are shown and throw town. I'll put all the amounts in township share of bridges. Carol, I can get with you about the specific townships if you want to put those townships in when we finalize things, but that's for some specific township bridge projects we have set up for next year. Last but not least is 036 Progress City. Again, this is pass-through money on this. We always put an amount in there, especially with a progress show year coming up. It's based strictly upon whether the folks out at Richland are able to acquire some money that have some work on the facilities out there. So we put lines in there. Again, it's only if they get some funds to do that. If not, then we don't do a project, and the lines just sit there. So I'd be happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
About $5 million there pretty fast, Bruce.
Well, the state gives it to us. That'd be kind of nice. Wait and see.
On the highway, on the 030, did you say that down here on the bottom you did not put any anticipated contractual increases in that, right?
No, those are in there. Typically,
they are in there. Okay.
They are in there. I put them in. I set them in. And what I pointed out was, I was looking at the sheet again today, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is a contract year. Okay. So traditionally and historically, we'd always zero those out until negotiations are done. So, I mean.
When will you know?
Not until the contract's over with. So.
We start negotiations here in another 6 weeks probably.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I think it's probably a good idea to go ahead and zero them out.
Agree.
No problem. Any other questions?
Yeah, this is Lauren. I had a question. I'm not on transportation, so you guys might have talked about it there, but I don't remember seeing it in a minute. On the audit, there were some questions about in the highway, like reconciling things. I don't have the audit pulled up right now, but what are you guys doing over in highway to fix those issues that they brought up?
Laura, thank you. I can bring those up. I've got them.
A lot of it was inventory.
Yeah, that's what I recall, yeah.
On the highway side, it was highway projects typically span multiple periods, have federal, state, and local sources of revenue, and consist of expenditures for various highway funds. All of these issues complicate accounting for a single project, which makes it important to emphasize reconciliation of projects are kept by the county engineer and the software used in the financial reporting. We recommend establishing a procedure to capture all accounting-related activities in order to assure all project-related activities recorded timely and within the proper period. fund and project. So I think they just want a like a balance sheet, a point in time when you, if they want to look at it and see where you're at that time, you don't have to explain it away.
Right. Our office does track expenditures. The difficulty with matching that with obviously the vast majority of our projects is, you know, if we're the ones that are actually, you know, being the signatory of the contract, the one who's actually, you know, collecting the bills and actually paying the bills out. Unfortunately, with a lot of our projects, that's the state. So we track those expenses. I mean, the ones that we keep in-house, usually they're smaller projects, and we usually are able to flip those around and get those done within the calendar, within the fiscal year. So those are easy to track. The issue that's always come up year after year after year, and we've talked with MCK about this, is that on most of our anything that has federal funds, or even some of the ones that have state funds in them, the state is the signatory in the contract. So they basically front the money for everything, and then they bill us our match. And depending on how many people, or if any, that they have in the office over in Springfield who bills that out. For most of the past 5 years, they've had one person over there that's billed out all projects, the locals, for the entire state of Illinois. There was a point in time where we were 4 years behind on getting, you know, we pay typically like a 20% match. You know, we hadn't been billed for four or five projects for almost 4 years for our match. And then in one particular year, they billed us for all of them. And it's like, all right, sorry, folks, you're going to have to wait. We're not, you know, we don't, one thing, we don't have this set up in this, in our fiscal year within the lines to actually cover this amount. And they did work with us. But those billings that come from the state, unfortunately, are very unpredictable. Lately here, they've been on top of things. They've been good. But in the recent past, they've been horrible at that. So I think, you know, when I looked at that, and Carol and I talked about it a little bit, the biggest issue with that is we're relying on somebody else who's handling the billing for us, and they're uneven at best. So, you know, we do track what we know we have to go, what goes into these projects. We have everything broken down on individual sheets. Some of these projects, and in fact, most of the ones involved with the Beltway, there's multiple sources of income and revenue that we have to track, and we've got that on sheets. It's just, you know, trying to summarize that and get it done by the end of a fiscal year is really, really difficult. I mean, we know what it is, and, you know, even if you put a placeholder into the next budget year, Carol, you typically, what, go 3 or 4 months on those? You know, like I said, for an example, I don't know if they're going to bill us a year from now or 4 years from now. So, I don't know. Does that answer your question, Laura?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Laura. Thanks, Bruce.
Yep.
Do we do anything with inventory? I mean, that was Kathy's other complaint, was we don't.
Yeah, it was.
It well enough, or
it was reconciliation of the ledger items. We're not keeping track of if when you take something off the ledger, you sell a piece of equipment. There's not a tie out with a serial number that comes back to the ledger and it gets written off.
I think Kathy's done that. I can double check. Make sure that we do that. So,
well, the other thing was like rock, salt, things like that. And I know that's hard to keep track of, but
right. We have the weigh scales on the hoppers of the truck. I know this past year we were keeping track of the salt per storm and whatnot. So we have a pretty good measure of what's there in the shed. The rock piles, you know, there's always a certain amount that's there and it's over. There's formulas you can use to calculate what's there. Again, when you're pulling the material off of those piles, as you're doing it, a lot of, again, the hoppers there, we can keep track of it on the machine that's loading it up. But like if we send like a backhoe down, if it's loading it, it doesn't have that weigh scale on it. So then it's an approximation at that point. So we do track it. It's closer than what it was, but I'm sure it's not perfect. So.
Yeah, so he held the inventory. Then it said development of a control system, risk management to ensure adequate safeguarding to prevent loss, damage, or theft. Mm-hmm. Adequate maintenance procedures to keep property in good condition, and establish the sales procedure that's for the asset reconciliation off the ledger. That's just the list that was on there.
Yep. So,
Any questions? Discussion? Entertain a motion.
We're going to, excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Yep.
We're going to ask for that one change.
Correct. We're going to have him zero that on the, mm-hmm. Yes.
So move.
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Jim Gershon.
Aye.
Lauren Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
County Clerk.
All right. Start with the 001030 account. It's almost identical except for a one line item, which is a pay raise. Other than that, everybody in the clerk typist payroll, which is almost everyone else, I was able to, we had someone retire mid-year, so the raises were able to be put into that person's savings. So, that budget's only $800 difference. The 001031, that is where last year I shifted all of the variable election expenses. And so next year we only have one election. So that account is down 15% or $143,000. Assuming we don't have a municipal primary, which has become very rare. Those are the two general fund accounts. The 065000 is a clerk automation. It's basically flat. I had to move some things around. But other than that, it's flat. Any questions on next year's or maybe even this year's?
Well, yeah, on the the mail. I know we got our little postcard thing.
Right.
And how much was that?
It was expensive. We are scheduled to receive almost $200,000 from the state. That's our allotment of the what was the legislature allotted for election reimbursement. So we should have all of our expenses associated with that postcard that we mailed. Also, any additional mail-in ballots above and beyond what we normally would do in a presidential cycle, which at this point in time we're already past that. And then any extra employees that we have to hire part-time to handle the surplus, that should all be covered by the grant. So we'll have our normal election expenses that we would normally have, but as far as the mail-in, the state has a grant that's going to cover all of that. I've already got the paperwork. I've already started adding any of the bills that we're paying to the grant. I'll try and submit it all in one shot, but because of the mail at the very end towards election day, we may get two payments, one large payment and then one supplemental payment in December time frame, which would be on next year's budget, but it would be for expenses this year we would be reimbursed for. So the bulk of it I'll try and get on this year's budget. But fortunately, we should receive reimbursement for all of the additional mail-in voting expenses. That's labor and mailing costs, and we were able to procure some equipment also to kind of speed this up, and that'll all be covered under the grant. Okay.
Good question, Jim, because I was wondering if you had accounted for some of that.
No, not in this budget. I mean, in this budget, it's basically just a reduction because you're only having, and unfortunately, it doesn't cut the bill in half. The things that get cut in half are election judges. We pay them, and so if we have one less election, there's half that expense. There's the half of the expense of delivering all the election equipment. Obviously, with one election, we only deliver it once. But as far as our contract with our election vendor, they've spread that out evenly over the entire contract. And so one election doesn't affect that expense because it's spread out evenly. So as far as our fixed expenses with employees, we were able to consume all of the contractual raises without increasing the budget.
What are you paying the attorney with out of now, Josh?
The attorney for the recount?
Yeah.
That's Carol?
That judgment?
Yeah, it comes out of judgment.
Judgment fund, yeah.
Do you know where we're at so far spending?
I don't, but I can send a report to finance tomorrow. We can put that together and send it to you. I mean, he was only here one day for the recount, so that part of the expense, it's the court. I mean, he has to represent us in court, and that's usually where all the expense comes from. The recount, he was only here one day.
Do you have an idea, Carol, where we're at with him?
I don't. We've had several invoices from the law firm,
yeah,
and I over the last several months, so I don't know. I'd have to total them up.
He was here probably 4 or 5 days when it came to testimony, and that was relatively expensive. Those were all-day affairs.
But we're over 30, 40,000.
I would say yes.
It would not surprise me easily, yeah. As far as interaction with our office, it's been limited. That almost the bulk of that expense has been the legal process.
Mr. Mattingly, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like for you to look at that bill. It seemed over excessive to me.
He's definitely a private attorney.
I'll look at it, but
thanks, Greg.
Did you ask Greg what his hourly rate is?
Good with Jim.
I'm not licensed anymore.
It's $180 a month, Jim, or whatever he gets. Yeah.
But on this budget,
yep.
Josh, you know, I mean, there's obviously the net effect of the 030 and 31 is $100,000 less than
yes.
What we had this year.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously it's not a shell game. In the even years,
right.
That number goes back up. But in the odd years, when I first came into office, the direction from finance was to actually budget what we anticipated to expend. And so we do not typically have a primary for municipal elections, which 2021 is a municipal election. So I just took all of that expense out. Obviously, if we do have it, I'd have to come back and get the money for it. And it's all, again, my first budget, I transferred all of the variable expenses into the one account. So anytime we have two elections, that's the only account that's going to go up. Anytime we have one election, that's the account that's going to go down.
I move to approve it.
Second.
Motion approved and a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
I know this is a budget meeting, but those postcards did go out last week. Did anybody have any questions about that? Well, or your constituents?
No, they're pretty self-explanatory, really.
Yeah, they are.
They're really nice.
They are nice.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, they we're getting a massive response to them. I'm surprised. I mean, we just ran some basic statistics on them, but the age range is all over the place. Party affiliation is all over the place. I was kind of surprised that it's as spread, it's as diverse. I didn't expect it to be that way, but it is. It's, I mean, they're younger people, older people, you know, rural people, inner city people, different, you know, both parties have a relatively equal representation. So, which oddly enough, in Macon County, in most elections, the mail-in vote is favors Republican participation. I'm not sure why, but this seems to be pretty evenly spread across both parties, all age groups. So,
and a big response. That's interesting.
Yeah, we have more requests now than we got in all of 2016. So we had over 3,000 requests in 2016, but we only received just north of 2,000. So a lot of those didn't come back. We already have north of 3,000 requests as of now. And they, you know, they come in 100 or 200 a day. So, all right. Thanks. If you got questions or constituents have questions, just have them call our office.
Yeah. One question. When will the ballot actually be sent?
September 24th.
The 24th.
Okay. Yeah, we will mail it. Now, depending on your mail service, how rural you are.
Okay.
And that mail doesn't come from Decatur. Our vendor prints and mails that. So it comes from Tremont, Illinois. But, yeah, September 24th. Most people are receiving it within 2 days, maybe three.
Old-fashioned.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Kim, you're up. Supervised Assessment Board Review, GIS.
We don't
have to. No. I know. Okay,
thank you. Okay.
I'll start with the Board of Review, and that's a general fund budget. We were able to decrease the appraisal research line by about $1,500. That line item is one that can fluctuate every year depending on how many appeals go to the Property Tax Appeal Board, and that's for the Board of Review to obtain either appraisals or appraisal reviews. So we can offset some of that savings up front, but unfortunately, we can always end up spending that the entire budgeted amount as well. And we do have a large number of appeals right now at the state. So hopefully they won't all require appraisals, but some of them do require appraisals and reviews. Other than that, looks like the Board of Review budget's about the same. For the Supervisor of Assessments, I did have one staff that's taking the early retirement for this budget year, and so I was able to offset all of the contractual raises that were approved in the last contract. And then with the savings, roughly around $7,000, give or take, hiring a new staff at the entry-level position. So that helps save some of that money and offset the raises.
Kim, you said those were contractual raises?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Just
that's
for the union members.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The last one is the GIS Automation Fund. And, of course, that's self-funded. So the only change to that budget was the contractual raises as well. And if you do notice, there is in the salary line items, there is a change with Deputy Supervisor of Assessments. With the new software, there were some changes moved around with the tax mapping specialist and the chief deputy salaries. But those all came out of that same budget anyway.
Okay.
And then I've also attached the IT services, which is the EDP budget. And that all comes through the GIS Automation Fund as well. I think that's all I have for GIS.
How short is your, do you have a shortage in your office now, Kim?
No, we're fully staffed at this time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's a nice change.
Yeah, it's good. Any discussion? Mr. Gresham?
We're, dollar-wise, we're not quite where we wanted to be, but I don't know. I'm office that size and these items here, I don't know where you could get it. I mean, you just hope that maybe some of these expenses aren't
approved, yeah.
Aren't up, you know, don't spend the whole budget.
I agree. I got about halfway there on the front side. I'm hoping that some, like you said, some cuts later, some savings, usually in like legal advertising, postage, office supplies. Towards the end of the year, you can kind of, you know, offset some of that cost. But it's pretty thin
mm-hmm.
otherwise.
Good question. So moved. Do we do all three of them, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, we do all three. Yes.
That's one motion?
Yep.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Grillo.
Yeah. No.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. Any citizens' remarks? Anybody send anything in?
No.
Okay. Old business? New business? No need for a closed session. Next meeting will be Monday, August 17th, budget hearing number 2, Historical Museum, Veterans Assistance, Animal Control, Circuit Clerk. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Motion adjourned. Meeting adjourned, sorry. Oh, sure, sure.